Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
What's the old saying? When a door closes, a window opens. Something like that.
Does the window close and the door open, or does the door close and the window open?
Well, something's closed and something opened. At least it did for Abby.
Okay.
She got a breeze from somewhere. Doesn't really matter where. You found a little hole somewhere, right? Somebody was breaking wind. But I think the phrase that my mom used when she would tell me to, you know, to pick myself back up and not be feel so rejected is, when you experience rejection, it's just redirection, which is the most annoying thing.
It's one of my favorite quotes.
That though. Yeah. It's a great quote, but it's so annoying when you're in the moment of feeling sorry for yourself. You're like, shut up and just feel sorry for me. Let me have my pity party and then give me these great anecdotes like next week. That's exactly how I feel, except now I'm in the reverse position because now I get to stand for my high and mighty position and get to tell the world rejection is just redirection. Because that's how I was feeling last week when we went to our morning show boot camp convention, because I got to see everyone who got the jobs that I had applied for before this. All right, so for those that don't know, morning show boot camp, it's a radio conference that we attend pretty much every year, and it brings together radio talent, morning radio talent from across the country. Even there's shows from Canada that come in and participate. There's also like programmers, higher ups, PDs, you know, you name it. And it's just all about sharing ideas and what we can do to make radio better for you.
Exactly. And it's a really fun time to see everyone from the industry. And like the industry is so small that I feel like everyone kind of knows everybody. Mm-hmm. And I recognize a lot of faces just from, you know, previous internships and also from seeing those announcement posts of when I didn't get a job and having to pretend to be happy for someone. But jokingly,
how many did you apply for?
I probably applied for like 15 different jobs.
No way.
Yeah, I was trying. So I came from my hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, and I was desperate to get out. I was happy at my old job. I mean, like really had a great experience at my old company. There was nothing wrong with it, but I was sick of living in my hometown, and I had dreams of doing literally what I'm doing right now, being on a national radio show, getting to be, you know, part of people's mornings. And it was really frustrating applying for so many different things and constantly getting rejected over and over and over. And you know, going to this convention and seeing like the physical manifestation of all the rejections I had had over the last 4 years, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a little bit of a beat down.
Yeah.
You know, when you're constantly getting like a stream of no's. And I was kind of sitting there, I'm like, my mom was right. Rejection really is redirection, because I was looking at who got those positions, I knew they were the perfect choice for mm-hmm. either that show or that specific role. And in the same way that I feel that about them, I was like, feel that way about where I'm at now. Like, I really do feel like everything had worked out kind of perfectly. I love Atlanta. I love the city that we live in. I love the people that I work with. I have friends in this city. I enjoy the show that I'm on. And I just was having like war flashbacks of like getting those phone calls up where like you get that the program director, the manager, whoever's rejecting you calls you up and they have that tone in your voice and in their voice and you know what they're about to say. And it's like a weird form of like PTSD. But then, you know, I get to kind of be on the other side of it now and kind of get to share like a little bit of hope and a little bit of like wisdom, I guess, of like my mom was right. And if you are in a place where you feel like you feel lost or stifled or
you feel like you're failing over
you feel like you're failing over and over, it's what is meant for you is meant for you, and it's just not your time yet. And I feel very grateful that I get to be on the other side of it and not still be in my hometown being like, my mom's a liar.
I think it is a very valuable lesson, and I think it's a message a lot of people, especially those that are, you know, right out of college, can, because you can have your heart set on this one job, and you're like, in your head, you perceive it as this is the gig. Like, this is what I'm, like, that's the job. And then you don't get it. And I could see being in the dumps, which you are allowed to be. Like, allow yourself to have that. But I've always said, like, you can have a pity party. You just can't live there. Like, it's a party. It ends. You have to move on. So I think that's great. And then, like, I think for you, it's so crazy that we had that convention. So you literally got to see that all in front of you. And then knowing that, I firmly believe, I was going to crack a joke and be like, what do these people know that we don't know about you, that they didn't hire you and we did? No, you were like the perfect little puzzle piece at the right time for the right show, for the right chemistry. And so I, at this point, I couldn't imagine anybody else sitting in that seat but you right now.
Aw, thank you.
I used to take rejection really hard too. And it's funny because my grandmother used to tell me the same exact quote. And one of my other favorite quotes is, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. So when rejection happens, it does. I do believe in my experiences that it does put you where you're supposed to be and not always necessarily where you wanted to be, but it always works out in the end.
And I believe that for the people who got the jobs that I wanted. I feel like they were the perfect puzzle pieces, and I truly mean that. I don't mean that from like a, and I got this job and it sucks for you. That they, yeah. I think they are in the exact position that they were supposed to be, in the same way that I feel like I'm in the exact position that I'm supposed to be. Period.
I love that message. And I'm sure somebody listening right now needed to hear that, who's been rejected multiple times, knowing that your big chance is very, very well could just be right around the corner.
100%. Because I literally, some of these positions I really thought were going to be like it for me. There were certain cities that I thought I was going to live in, probably because there was a boy that I wanted to date there. And and it just all works out. And so I feel really grateful that I get to be on the other side of it.
So did the window open or did the door open? Because I'm still there.
You know what? The roof blew off the house, baby.
Okay.
If she got this show, the roof blew off the house.
Okay, we don't need no water.
Let that mother burn. Yeah.
The Burt Show.
All right, Katie, I have got to know what happened at this pajama party because I have a lot on the line because she borrowed a pair of my pajamas.
Exactly. And you know what? Never again. Never again.
It didn't go well.
So, no. Over the weekend, a friend of mine sent a text saying, hey, I'm having a pajama party. It's a girls' night. Wear your cute pajamas. Come through. Da, 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 da. I'm like, okay, cool. This is, sounds like it's going to be a great night. However, my pajamas are oversized t-shirts.
Uh-huh.
That's it. But I do have a couple of like plaid pants, right? And so I'm like, I really don't have a pajama set that's like cute. But you know what? Let me bring these little plaid pants and probably throw on one of my mini black tees. But before attending the party, I was watching Jimmy while Kristen went out to have, you know, some fun. And so when Kristen gets back home.
Oh, I was hammered that night. Yeah, that was the night that it started with brunch with my niece and her husband. And then we went to a wine walk and then we went to dinner. And then we tried to go to a dance club after that. And God bless our sober husbands. They were like, they were putting up with our shenanigans, but the line to the club was too long and we ended up coming home, thankfully. But a day like that and, you know, me trying to hang with the 20-something, it was inevitable. We came and we were filmed. We put like music on the record player. We were dancing in the living room.
Mm-hmm. Having a blast.
Yeah, we were. It was a good day.
So, of course, when they come back, energy is amped up, and I'm pumped up because I'm about to go to a party. And Chris is like, are you going home? I'm like, no, I'm going to a pajama party.
And I'm like, what you wearing?
And I was like, well, I got these plaid pants, you know. So I'm just like, no, just you wait. Right?
I am so annoying when I am drunk.
So Kristen comes back with about 5 different pajama options.
Options.
Right? Oh, I did. I dug into my pajama drawer and I'm like, they were all sets. Uh-huh. So you had like the plaid pants, but there was a plaid top to go with it.
Yep.
Had a couple onesies. And then I had these really cute like shorts and short sleeve, like pink and black floral pajamas, like a silky material.
Yes. Okay. And so I was like, oh, options and stuff. I'm like, okay. Now, I will say I did make the decision out of the options.
You did.
And that was probably where I went wrong because I was like, you know what? The unicorn onesie is going to be the win.
What? You ain't go with the cute plaid shorts set?
No, I'm thinking pajama party. Let's have fun with it. A unicorn onesie, right? And so I put on this onesie and I come out and Kristen's hyping me up too. She's like, yeah, that's it. That's the outfit. You're going to have a great time. I'm like, yeah, I am.
You're so cute.
Uh-huh. I thought so too. Uh-huh. So lo and behold, I leave. And I get to the party, and I'm one of the last people to arrive. And so as soon as I walk in, it's just like a complete record scratch, right? I just walk in, and everybody's like looking at me. And I'm just like looking at them. I'm like, and then I look down, you know, unicorn onesie. I'm ready to party.
Yeah.
Nobody else is ready to party the way I'm ready to party. It's like you have the regular just shorts and a T-shirt, which I should have went with.
Yep.
And then there was a silk set. Uh-huh. And I'm the only one looking like a furry.
Well, I will say in my experiences of going to pajama parties, they are very different at black pajama parties and white pajama parties.
Oh, so I gave her a white pajama party set.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, you did. You absolutely did.
Wait, define the difference.
She picked it.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like white pajama parties are a little more... I don't want to say fun, but I think everybody's a little more creative with their pajama wearing.
We're a little more quirky.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then black pajama parties is more like you just wear basketball shorts and a T-shirt, and that's everybody's pajamas.
It's more of a chill vibe.
Exactly.
Okay.
So a unicorn onesie wouldn't be at a black pajama party.
But you chose it.
I know, and that's where I went wrong because I felt so comfortable after Kristen hyped me up that I was like, I can't lose in this.
You let a drunk white girl make the decision for you. And that's where we failed.
Really, that's on you.
That is on you.
So the rest of the night, I kind of wore the like onesie kind of like overalls, you know, like black shirt out, little swag to it. And I was like, yeah, just the tail.
You were so cute.
Thank you.
Oh,
I did not blend in with anyone else. No.
All right, so lesson learned. Well, I think we all learned something here today.
Yeah. Never trust drunk Kristen.
Yes!
Yeah.
100%.
The funny thing is when we left Tommy's for the meeting that we had, I got in Katie's car, and that was the first thing I saw in the back seat was a unicorn onesie. Uh-huh. And I was like, Katie, and she was like, I'll explain at work. Don't worry about it.
Were you like, what white nonsense is this? Okay, well, my bad.
It's okay. Well, thank you, though.
You're welcome.
Here's the life of the party.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Just when you think this Britney Spears divorce thing couldn't get worse, Sam Asghari is claiming that Britney used to attack him in his sleep. But before we get into that, I want to let you know about the statement that he put on his Instagram story yesterday to address this whole split, because no one's really spoken out until now. I mean, it's like brand new news.
Britney hasn't said anything, right?
No, she posted that photo of her on a horse, and that's it. She was like, this is good. She's like, I'm getting divorced. Here's me on a horse.
On a horse and on a pole.
On a pole. She's on a lot of things.
She's hopping, yeah, on a lot of things.
She's on everything except Sam.
Yeah, got it. Noted.
So on the Instagram story, Sam said, after 6 years of love and commitment to each other, my wife and I have decided to end our journey together. We will hold on to the love and respect we have for each other, and I wish her the best always. As happens, asking for privacy seems a little ridiculous, so I will just ask for everyone to be kind and thoughtful, which we will do our best to do as we continue to dive deep into this story. His rep also has come out and just addressed some of the rumors about Sam challenging the prenup as well.
Because there's been a lot of rumors going around kind of making it seem like, okay, well, and I'm guilty of this too, of thinking, oh, they got married 14 months ago and now they want a divorce.
Seems cash
like
grab.
Cash grab. And so the rep is saying there's many claims that Sam is challenging the prenup and threatening to exploit his ex-wife with videos. However, all these claims are false, as no negative intention has ever been directed towards her and never will be. And things are getting worse because now he's claiming that Britney Spears attacked him while he slept.
He's claiming this.
So a TMZ report was published yesterday and claims that that Sam frequently complained about Britney getting physical with him in numerous incidents during their 7-year relationship. In one incident, he apparently attacked him while he was sleeping, leaving him with a black eye. The report also includes photographs that show him with bruises and other injuries that were allegedly caused by Britney. And something really weird that I didn't know about Britney, I don't know if this is like a part of the Britney Spears lore. Apparently, she's really into knives, and apparently a lot of their fights have included him feeling very concerned because she keeps knives all around the house, even in the bedroom, according to this report.
There are rumors of Britney not having a dark side, but having a dungeon where you play piano, in case kids are listening, if you can't catch what I'm saying, like, into that. But here's my deal. If this is true, then absolutely it needs to be addressed, because domestic violence is no joke. Even feeling threatened by knives. But I wish he had reported it when it had happened, because this is, and I know that's tough, because it is tough when you're in the house with your alleged abuser to do that. And we talk about that with women all the time, feeling dangerous. I think, and I'm not trying to doubt or discredit Sam's experience or his story, but
or victim blame.
But it's also, I do want to lay out, and I think we do this for all victims, like, when you sit here and you say, please be kind, I'm not going to ask for privacy, that seems ridiculous. And then out of the other side of your mouth, it's like, by the way, I got attacked in my sleep, I got a black eye, you know, and I felt threatened by knives. And I'm just like, it's tough to wrap your head around, because that's not the image we know of Britney. But again, like, that could be, he needs to speak his truth. If that actually happened, then I want him to feel supported.
Okay, I want clarification. So, did somebody tell TMZ that Sam told them this, or did Sam tell TMZ this? Because those are two different things. So they often say, like, you know, they'll spin it in a way that it's hearsay, that Sam had told somebody this, and now this, what do they call it? Source is now spreading what is allegedly happening behind closed doors.
Gotcha. The report that I'm reading from is just claiming a TMZ report. So let me go back and get some clarification. But
it'd be one thing if he released a statement like he did on his Insta story saying XYZ happened and this is why I'm bouncing. I feel like there's a lot of wiggle room when it's coming from a third party.
I've definitely tried to wake Chad up, my husband, up while he was dead asleep, and I got elbowed in the face and he was so sorry. But I'm saying, like, if she's thrashing out at night or something, maybe she's having night terrors and hits him. But I do find it interesting that he filed for the divorce, that she didn't. And I think that also speaks volumes, because isn't it usually the person who has the most issues in the relationship, like, who he wanted out? So he's the one, even after 14 months, after being in not the position of power, not the richest person in the relationship, if he filed for divorce, I think you got to know that it wasn't good.
Yeah, I mean, if the reports from this TMZ thing are 100% correct, or if there's even any truth, I mean, that's pretty terrifying.
It is very terrifying.
Just from like a domestic violence standpoint, like, he's economically supported by this woman. He's been with her for 7 years. There's a huge power dynamic because she's Britney Spears. She's a huge celebrity. So I think it's a little bit easier said than done to just be like, well, you should have reported it when it happened.
I don't know if it'll come out, but didn't you say there were photos of like him having a black eye or something like that?
Yeah, which, I mean, could have happened from anything. Maybe he got in a fight, but I mean, we're just going to have to follow this and see what more comes out. Lizzo's dancers are finally speaking out following her controversial lawsuit. We'll get into it on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, so a friend of her dad's has asked her out on a date. She wants to go, but she doesn't know if she should tell her pops first.
Ooh.
I know it's messy, and I love it. So, Burt Show listeners, if there's anybody, because I guarantee somebody listening has been in this situation. So if you have ever dated your dad's friend and would like to share how it went, 1-855-BURT-SHOW, 855-237-8746. Phone lines are open. All right. So the email reads, "Hey, Burt Show, I'm going to cut right to the chase. One of my dad's friends has asked me out and I really want to go, but I'm worried my dad is going to freak out. The deets I think you need are he and my dad are friends, but aren't BFF. They are work friends who actually joined a pickleball league together. He's younger than my dad, but still 17 years older than me. I'm 23. He's 40. My dad is 52. He joined my company's, he joined my dad's company about 6 years ago, and that's when I met him. It hasn't been until recently that I felt this flirtatious vibe between the two of us. We exchanged numbers and have been texting for a few months. It's been fun, and if I'm being honest, I kind of like the secretiveness of it. He asked me out on an official date, and I really want to go. I just don't know what to do about my dad. Do I still keep my dad in the dark? Do I give him a heads up? Is this completely inappropriate, and should I end things with, in quotations, Zach? He's a kind man who also happens to be incredibly hot. He's divorced with no kids. I am really vibing with him and would like to see where this could go. I just know my dad is going to lose his S when he finds out. Thanks for any advice." All right, so Abby, you are talking to one of your dad's friends.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
In this hypothetical, you are. You're talking to one of your dad's friends. How would you proceed?
He's incredibly hot.
He is incredibly hot.
I'm just trying to picture
No kids.
No. No, that's a plus. Here's the thing. I'm just trying to picture this because my dad just has like the group of nerdiest old guys ever. So it's hard for me to picture like a hot older man. So let me like think of like a Matt Damon or something. Like if I'm talking to Matt Damon, if my dad is friends with Matt Damon, I gotta say, I think I would fold. I think I would keep it a secret too, because I know my dad and I know my dad would not respond well to this. And I think if I was really serious about Matt Damon, I love how I'm using this. Yeah. Like I said, this is a possibility. If I was serious about it as a relationship and we had really built something beautiful together, I think it would make a lot more sense and my dad would be a lot more on board if he could see it and he could kind of see it played out. Like if we both approached him like, "Hey, we've been dating for 6 months, but like we're really in love and this is really going somewhere," I think he would be more likely to not have a freak out. Whereas if you said, "Hey, I want to go on a first date," I think my dad would have a conniption.
So you would keep it under wraps unless there was something to tell.
Yes, exactly.
Mo?
It would be tough for me to sit here as a man and give her advice to say to keep this from your dad. I get it. And if I were in that position, I probably wouldn't say anything, to be honest. But I feel like if he was a stand-up guy, he would mention it to her dad.
Mm.
You know, if you genuinely feel like you are interested in her, I think the grown man move to make is to actually say, and it probably will ruin the relationship. I think you know that going in. But I think he should mention it to her dad. And if he doesn't, that's enough for me to know that she should.
All right, let me throw a hypothetical at you. Your friend comes to you and says he wants to take your daughter out.
Our friendship is over. You don't have to call any further. That's it.
Cass. No one needs to tell dad, and here's why. You're two consenting adults, and this, I went through this, so I completely understand it in my young 20s.
You dated one of your dad's friends?
No. Sorry, I went through the mentality of, like, everything I do, I have to tell my parents, and they have to approve of, and they have to know everything, because that's where you just came from. Like, literally 18, maybe more years of your life were spent under your parents' roof, if you're lucky and privileged, where you had to report to them, and they had to basically, essentially sign off on everything. You're 23. You can do what you want. This isn't your dad. If this was your dad's best friend or part of his inner circle, very different. This is a guy he plays pickleball with, that he works with. Date the dude. Have fun. I wouldn't tell dad. And then I would take Abby's advice. See where it goes. If it forms into something solid, then you can tell dad. Otherwise, it's honestly none of dad's business and neither of them needs to tell.
But she never would have met him if it weren't for dad.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter. No. Like
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters how you met. I think
I think it just matters the friendship, but they don't even sound like they're that good of friends, so I'm keeping this thing under wraps.
But they play pickleball together.
Oh, God,
Abby.
It's not that serious.
It's a brotherhood when some pickles involved.
They're hitting balls on the court. It's not a marriage.
Balls in the court, balls in the bedroom.
Okay, all right.
The only thing that would change this for me is if this 40-year-old dude reported to your dad in some capacity in a hierarchy at work, because then that's sketch and it's weird and there's a power dynamic there, mm-hmm. and I would feel used.
Got it.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bert Show.
All right, so there are a bunch of high school teams that went winless, high school football teams that went winless last year. We've picked four to support and to get them off the winless list. It's Friday Night Lights. Let's check in.
We're winless. Didn't win a single game last year. Wanna give our fans a reason to cheer. The Bert Show is behind us this year. So we're in the past, winning's been our weakness. Game after game, we're getting nervous. Every time we step onto the field, don't wanna be winless.
All right, so the football team, high school football team that I chose, it's close to home mm-hmm. because it's from my hometown of Lexington, Kentucky. It's my alma mater where I went to high school, Lafayette. Now, here's the thing. I had reported that they were going to be playing Danville, and they did, but it was a preseason scrimmage. Okay. It was not a regular season game.
Okay.
Who won?
Lafayette did.
Doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Oh.
Because it was a preseason. So I found the article. Lafayette actually beat Western Hills and Danville in scrimmages. But again, preseason, not regular season.
Oh, that should count for y'all, man.
I know. I think so, too. And like their winless season last season, that's only happened twice since the football team began playing in 1946.
Wow.
Okay. They're really bad. Yeah. So, it's only happened twice. They've only had two winless seasons since they started playing in 1946.
Oh.
So, I feel like I got some hope this year.
For sure.
But that Danville win does not count. Their official first game is tonight against Oldham County. So, Oldham County was also winless last year.
Okay.
So I might get off this list.
You're saying there's a chance.
There is 100% a chance. So I'm going to do it like I did last time because I think it gave them the luck they needed against Danville. L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E Lafayette. All right, that's for my team. All right, now, so our first game is this weekend. Also, Mo, your team's first game is tonight.
Yes, the Cross Keys Indians out in Atlanta of Brookhaven / DeKalb County. They were winless the last two seasons.
Back to back.
Back to back. However, I do not think there will be a three-peat. Tonight, there's an away game against the Walker Wolverines. When I was younger, the Wolverines were normally a really good football team anytime they had that name.
Uh-huh.
But I'm hoping that's not still a thing. So okay. I am cheering for them, and I think we're going to get off this winless list the first game out the season.
All right.
That's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, you're that confident. You're manifesting that, baby.
Out the gate.
All right, Abby, your team also kicks off their season tonight.
Tonight, the Belmont Braves in Decatur, Indiana. They have a pretty bad record. They didn't win any games last season. The only thing that keeps them on the scoreboard is they did win one game in 2021, but then the year before that, zero games. So I'm really feeling proud for them, excited for the Belmont Braves. Are going against one of the best teams in their county tonight. So best of luck.
And then Bert has the Holy Cross Crusaders in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. They don't play till next Saturday. That's weird that they play on a Saturday. Do they not have Friday Night Lights in PA?
Sometimes some games are on Saturdays.
Okay. Though,
that's nice.
So we're not even going to worry about him, and he's not here today, so it doesn't matter. All right, so best of luck to all of our winless teams tonight. There is a Reddit thread
that asked older women, what is something young women are doing that puzzles you?
Mm.
Okay. And so the Redditor Islamic Anime asked that question. Older women of Reddit, what is something young women are doing that puzzles you? And these are some of the things that people said. So we have an old woman on the show, me, and then we have many younger women. So I wanted to go through this list and feel you guys out and see what you have to think. So somebody said, crying on the internet. I'm talking full-on snot bubble crying. Maybe it's my childhood trauma talking, but I can't fathom having an awful thing happen to me and then taking out my phone to tell my followers about it.
The way I think that older people can relate to this is if you've ever gone in the mirror to see yourself ugly cry, which I feel like is a universal experience, and if you've never done that, you are lying.
I've never done that. I promise you I
have. Have you ever cried?
Yes, and I don't like to see myself cry. Go in the dark. I don't even want to see myself do it.
I make them cry all the time. It's awesome.
Yeah. I wish you would stop doing that.
So it's kind of like that. It's kind of like looking in the mirror, but I think some people sometimes want to share it. It's a moment of vulnerability, and I think that's beautiful.
I actually like it, too. I feel like it... I think you have to know who you're following. I think some people do it for likes and traction, and I think other people want to show the unfiltered side of themselves, and that life isn't always easy. Sometimes life sucks, and it's okay to cry. I've 100% done that before.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really bad grief day, and I'm like, you know what? I looked at my Instagram, and it's so pretty and polished, and I'm like, no. I mean, you got to show the ugly parts.
I think we're coming from some generations, myself included, where emotions needed to be buttoned up and you didn't really talk about it, and we're breaking that mold now, and I love it.
How about this? The overdone lip filler injections. I can't wait for this trend to die.
Can I be honest? I'm kind of on board with it too.
Yeah.
I do think, and listen, I want to put the blanket statement that you do what makes you feel beautiful. It's a free country. All for that. I do think it is going a little too far with some of the lip filler injections that I've seen, to where it does look a little overdone. And honestly, it kind of looks painful. Like when I see somebody with very, very large lips that are clearly lip filler, I'm like, girl, is that painful? Like, I just want to pop it like a balloon. I'm not on board with this trend, but I also don't have lip filler.
I am bewildered, another person said, by women who do not prioritize the ability to support themselves.
Guilty. Well, that was me, because I grew up super, like I thought I would, you know, just grow up and like have kids and not work. But I think that was like a product of my upbringing. But I think there is a sector of women who idolize this thing called like the Range Rover mommy life, where they, and I've heard a lot of my friends say this, so this is where I'm coming from, where, you know, they get their degree and they work, but they really just want to like marry someone and become like a Range Rover mom, where you go to like Pilates, which it, to be fair, sounds like a beautiful life. I do think it sounds romanticized. They want to like drive a nice car and have the two kids and, you know, go get coffee at 3 p.m. after Pilates with the girls. And I think it's sort of like a very DeLulu goal to have. But if you can achieve it, power to you.
Somebody else said, wearing comfy shoes like sneakers to the club instead of heels. I'm certainly not mad at it. I'm just mad I never did that.
Oh, it's the best. I love wearing sneaks. Sneaks was like a cute little dress. Uh-huh. It's like the perfect outfit.
I didn't even realize that was a thing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe not the club, but like bars. I've worn sneakers to bars. Normally like a flat form to the club.
It honestly feels like Gen Z and younger generations just look back and we're like, we're not doing any of that. And all of us are like, no, you need to wear heels. No, we're good. We're going to do our own thing. And I freaking love it.
And then this one, I feel contradicted the prioritize the ability to support themselves. But, you know, it's multiple people commenting. And the one thing she was bewildered by that younger women do, I'm actually amazed by young women's self-confidence these days. So many of the amazing young adults I met through my kids just scream confidence. I still feel insecure at 50. Maybe it's because they've always been online listening to everyone's opinions and they just had to learn not to care. They are straight up fierce.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we're growing up in an age where everybody has a platform, like everybody has social media. And so there has to be a level of self-confidence that you do have to have in yourself, because you got to put yourself out in the same game that everyone's in. So you have to find your voice very early on. And I think it's built up a lot of self-confidence in women where there wasn't before.
The Burt Show.
Somebody on The Burt Show is shooting a music video this weekend.
Who could it be? Could it be the person with a music career on the show?
And apparently, said person is very ill-prepared for this weekend.
Oh, this could be such an embarrassment. This could go all the way wrong, or it can go all the way right. I feel like it's one of those things that's going one way or the other.
You're teetering.
Yes, and it's because it really genuinely came out of nowhere, and it's an opportunity that I'm excited about. But, I mean, this just happened a couple days ago because...
Where it all came together that you're going to do this?
Yes. So I'm working on my second album, and I'm pretty much wrapping it up. And it's funny because I've been talking to you guys for a while about saying I really need to shoot a music video. Like, that's a big part of getting your music out there and the creative process of getting an album out. And so I haven't done it, mostly just because I've been trying to find the right person to work with and the right ideas to work with and things of that nature. And then out of nowhere, because this is how my life goes, I get a random phone call from one of my good friends, and he's like, I have an opportunity for you, but we don't have a lot of time to turn it around. So I'm like, what you got? So he's like, well, I had a friend of mine call me who is graduating from SCAD, and he is what they call a SCAD dad, which I think is pretty cool because he's an older guy, but he went back to get his video engineering and producing degree from SCAD.
Good so, for him.
Right. And he, I guess he's at the end where this is literally the last project that he has to complete in order to finish his run there.
To graduate.
To graduate. And he's like, do you know anybody that needs a music video so bad that they'd be willing to do it within like the next 5 days? And so my guy calls me and he's like, can you do it? And I'm like, it doesn't matter if I can or not. It's free. We doing it. Yeah. We going to figure it out.
Just remember, you're going to get what you paid for.
I know. Well, see, so that's the thing. At first, I was like, I don't want this to be a waste of time. But he sends me I forget what they call it. But
did he send you a reel of, like, some of his stuff?
Exactly that. And he's really good. Like, he's great. And I guess he's been doing it for a few years now. So he has everything set up. He literally just needs someone to shoot the actual video with. And so I'm like, well, when do you want to do it? And he's like, Saturday. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's like 3 days from now, bro. Are you kidding me? So he's like, we have to do this. This is all I got. Because he has to have it in by next week. So he has to shoot it, edit it, get it in, present it, do all the things by like the end of next week. So I'm like, all right, if that's what we're doing, then let's do it. So I'm thinking, he's going to send me a place to be, a couple outfits, and we're done here. But no, I send him my album, and he listens to the album, and there's a song on there called A Different Kind of Love, which pretty much everyone who's listened to my album, that's their favorite song. And he said the song touched him so much that he was like, nah, this is going to be the best music video ever. Like, he was so excited to do it after he heard the song. So he finds a place. It's really, really nice house with a pool, basketball court, the works. And
so you have a set?
I have a whole set. It's nice, too. It's really nice. I was like, wow, he did that quickly. He has the models.
Oh, you're not going to ask us to be video vixens?
Well, I didn't know if you guys would be ready in a couple days. If I just had more time.
Yeah, I got to call my trainer.
But he has the models.
Okay.
He has the lighting guy. He has the camera guy. He has everything that he wants. And he sends me the entire run of what he wants it to look like. And he has, like, even a color scheme because he feels like romance should come with certain colors. It's like a reddish, like, you know, it should set the mood kind of thing. So my outfits actually have to match the set. And they want to actually take my pictures and put them up on the wall like I actually live there. Like, this, he's the whole gamut. He's doing the whole thing. And
does he have, like, a storyline? Because normally they have a storyboard because of music tells a story. And so I'm sure he wants the music video to tell a story as well.
He does. He sent me the whole, like, script of it, how it's a man that found the love of his life and is someone he was always searching for, and he finally found her. He's got a scene where we're doing yoga. I never thought that would be a part of my music video, but I was like, all right, this is different. We're playing basketball, gonna recreate, like, love and basketball.
Oh, I love that movie.
We're gonna do, like, a little a bedroom scene, of course, where the magic happens. We're gonna do, like, make it really romantic.
You're gonna be in bed with a model this weekend?
Right? You know, it's awful work.
Did you get to choose the model?
I didn't, but because it was so quick.
Yeah.
I wish I would have, but I mean, I appreciated the fact that he was like, just show up.
All I need you to do is show up. You can pick out your own clothes. That's all I really have control over. And literally, like, what we create will not only be, well, for me, I love this song so much, I don't want to waste it. So I feel like this has to work. I'm only doing one video for this song, and he needs to graduate. So we both have something on the line, and I literally still do not have one outfit picked out. I don't know.
This is tomorrow.
I know. I only had 3 days. And so I couldn't really go shopping, but I'm going to go today and really try to pick out 6 outfits because that's how many I need. I thought 2 would work, but apparently you need about 6.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to shoot. We're going to see what happens.
And you know this is going to be an all-day thing, right?
Yes. He said it's going to be 12 to 14 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not excited about that part of it.
On the bright side, you won't need an outfit for the bedroom scene.
Yeah.
You are right. So I only need 5 outfits.
Just knock one out. Well, good luck this weekend.
Thank you. We'll see how it goes. I will let y'all know next week.
Jessica, I know things like that. There's always like some hiccups. So I think the best thing you can bring to the set of anything is patience.
For sure.
Because it's going to be a long day if you really want to do it right. So yeah, the fact that he's already putting this much work into it, best of luck, my dude.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
The Bert Show.
All right, so texting tutor from last week. We're a little late getting our update, but she was watching her friend's dog, and then things went wrong. So she needed our help texting the friend to tell them what happened to their dog. I was not here because I was busy getting a UTI taken care of.
That's where you were?
That's where I was. I'm good to go right now. So Cassie, can you give us some more specifics on what this texting tutor was about?
Yeah, Casey was dog sitting for her neighbors. They're friends, but not like BFFs, but friendly. And she let the dog out in their fenced in backyard. So she did everything right, except the latch to the gate didn't latch properly, and the dog got out and disappeared, and she didn't realize it till later. She searched everywhere. She called vet clinics, pounds, looked at neighbors. Like, she did her due diligence. And I think it had been about 24 hours when she hit us up and was like, I don't know how to tell the neighbors. Do I tell them? Do I keep looking? And we're like, you need to tell them. You need to text them and let them know that their dog got out. So she did, and understandably, they were upset. They roped in their parents who lived nearby, and they decided to cut their vacation short and come home early to help look for the dog. And that is where we left it. The dog was still missing, had not been found yet.
All right, Abby's got the update. Well, I am relieved to tell you that the dog has been found.
Oh, that's great.
Woo! Dead. No, I'm just kidding. No. Dark mode Abby just came out. What is wrong with you? The obituary is right here.
Perfect delivery.
That was great.
You can't do that to a room full of dog lovers.
I wasn't ready.
The dog's alive.
Yeah.
No, this is affectionately who we call Dark Mode Abby.
Yes.
And she pops out on occasion. After days of searching and panic, someone posted to a community Facebook page about a dog that they found in their yard. Thankfully, safe and sound, about a half a mile away from here. It's unbelievable how fast and far they can run. Unfortunately, the situation with my neighbors isn't as easily resolved. They were understandably upset and terrified. I completely owned up to my mistake and the fact that I let this happen. It's been incredibly awkward since then. They actually came home and both were yelling at me. I tried to defend myself and say it was an easy and honest mistake, but they didn't care. We haven't spoken since then. The only communication was when they texted me to say that the dog had been found. For now, I'm just keeping my distance. Being honest, I think I'm now just as angry with them as they are with me. I don't really feel like they had the right to yell at me like they did. I felt like a child. So I guess it's going to be awkward for a while between us. I was hoping they would have reached out to clear the air between us since their dog is back. So far, that hasn't happened. And it has been days now. I guess it is what it is, and there's nothing that can be done. Thanks for the help and for checking in on me.
Okay. Like I said, I wasn't here for the OG conversation. I am very much a dog person. I have 3 dogs. And I would be very upset if I entrusted somebody, honest mistake or not, and my dog got out. Maybe even to the point of frustration and fear that I would yell because I would be that upset. But I think
I'm now, she says, I think I'm now just as angry with them as they are with me.
No.
Like, I get nobody, like, deserves to be yelled at and it was a mistake. But you have to understand, like, that's their fur baby. And they were in a state of panic and they were very upset. And if you think they're going to reach out to you to clear the air, I think you're, as Abby said earlier, DeLulu. if anything, you're the one that needs to reach out and give them an olive branch. I get it was an honest mistake, right? You didn't intend for this to happen, but unfortunately, you did. So now you have to take accountability. And maybe if you do that, they will apologize, be like, we were wrong in yelling at you the way we did. We were just very upset about the loss of our pet. But now that they are back home and things are better, and thank you for reaching out and for apologizing. I do feel like you are the one that needs to reach out for a formal apology.
This is why you do not have friends dog sit or pet sit.
We do all the time.
You're just setting yourself up for a possible loss of a friendship, because I had a close friend who had another friend dog sit her Cocker Spaniel, and this person dropped a bagel on the floor. The dog gets a hold of the bagel and chokes.
Wow.
And dies.
Oh, my.
It was awful.
Why are you telling us this
story? Way to make it dark in here, Tommy.
Well, I'm just saying. That's why you don't let friends dog sit.
We went from finding a dog to one choking and dying on a bagel. So thanks for that, Tommy.
At least you can, you know, yell at a stranger. Have a dead dog end your friendship.
Hey, you want to blow the air back in the room that you just sucked out?
Yes. I'm just kidding. Hey, Bird Show, real funny. That was the real part. Oh,
the dog was found. Yay! Yay!
The Bird Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
So, quick update about Britney Spears' and Sam Asghari's divorce, because Sam filed for divorce this week. And honestly, I heard 14-month marriage, this must be some kind of cash grab. Well, now there are reports, not from him, but from sources claiming that Britney attacked him in his sleep, that she keeps knives around the house and even in the bedroom, just a lot of eerie stuff. And now there's some new information about the prenup, because again, I'm thinking cash grab, how much money is he going to get from this divorce? Well, apparently nothing, but his attorney is going to challenge the prenup and apparently ask for spousal support. So he could be getting something out of this, but it's not like 100% guaranteed. If they get divorced, he gets X, Y, and Z amount of money.
But they are going to challenge it.
They are going to challenge it. And he does get to keep any kind of gift that Britney's given him. So, like, let's say she gave him like 7 Ferraris. I'm going to cash in those Ferraris and buy myself a nice house in Malibu.
I've never been divorced, obviously. So I don't know how it works. Keeping the gifts, absolutely. Like, you give a gift, it's yours. But the spousal support after 14 months, like, you're not that reliant on the lifestyle yet. And it's not like Sam also gave up his career to be a stay-at-home parent and take care of the kids or manage the household or be Britney's manager. He has a thriving career of his own. He's a model. Like, he was on set a while back for a film or something. So it's not like that, to me, is what is being not smelling right. Do you know what I mean? After 14 months,
something's off.
Yeah, because all the connections he's going to have after having been linked to her for so long, like, he's going to have no problem at least having a very thriving career as an influencer.
So if there is any truth to these rumors from sources about how he was treated by Britney, do you feel like he's like, I put up with a lot? I deserve something out of this relationship for having put up with what I did for so long?
At the very least, he deserves a free therapy check. A couple $100,000 to be able to get some help. If there's really been something serious going on, I think he does need some cash to be able to handle that. If he gave up any financial opportunities over the last few years, like, was he a dancer on her tour or her personal trainer?
They met on the set of Slumber Party, her music video. So he was the love interest in the music video, and that's where they met. And I'm torn, because that's when you do, for better or for worse, you agree to take on the worst burdens. Mm-hmm. But I don't fault him for feeling like maybe he is owed something, looking at, like, the absolute cluster that was the whole conservatorship going through. I mean, that has to be draining on anyone. So I don't fault him. It just seems weird that this is the route it's taking. But who knows? Maybe they already went behind the scenes and was like, yo, Britt, can you pay me out a little bit? And she said no. And so this is the way they're going to get it.
Did Britney's stans like him out the gate? Like, was he... Because he's been very supportive of her getting out from under the conservatorship and, like, actually speaking out and speaking up for her.
I would say it's split. Okay. So some really appreciated that he did that. Others felt like he shouldn't be speaking on behalf of Britney. And there were little things too, like he did when he did his anniversary post this past year for them, the Instagram story, he goes, happy anniversary to me and my wife. And it just comes off weird. Yeah. But who knows if, I'm not sure if English is his first language because his whole family, I think, is Persian. Mm-hmm. So who knows the reasoning why? So some of them really liked it and some were like, no, you're just using Britney. You're posting her on your Insta stories, you're speaking up for her. She's not speaking to the press, but you're talking to TMZ. So I think he was probably genuinely trying to help and be a good husband, honestly.
Ugh, the whole thing is just so sad. And a whole other legal case that's been so sad too is this Lizzo thing, where a lot of her former dancers have alleged that her workplace environment had sexual, racial, and religious harassment, poor working conditions, and now her current background dancers are actually releasing a statement. And I have to say, if I'm honest, it kind of sounds like what someone would say if a hostage was held at gunpoint. And I'm not saying that's the actual, like, what's actually happening, but it is very much like, we're having a great time on tour. This statement says, we're having the time of our lives on the special tour. We have been so honored to share the stage with such amazing talent. This tour experience has just been beyond #special. The commitment to character and culture taking precedence over every movement and moment has been one of the greatest lessons and blessings that we could possibly ask for. Thank you to Lizzo for shattering limitations and kicking in on the doorway for the big girl and big boy dancers to do what we love.
Blink twice if you need help.
That's how I feel.
Yeah, I'm torn here because I feel like you shouldn't have to say anything if everything's okay. But at the same time, if everything really is okay and you want to support a boss or a friend, I don't know how I feel about that.
What was interesting to me a couple of days ago with this Lizzo thing is, remember when Beyonce took her name off of the shout outs? Well, Katie said at the concert, she actually took that back and she said, Lizzo, I love you. So it makes me wonder, like, what information did Beyonce get that made her confident enough to do that? Because I don't think she would just do that for no reason.
Well, it's hard. If, like, Lizzo and her are close friends and Lizzo's like, girl, nothing's going on, it doesn't necessarily mean that nothing's going on. But if you have a personal relationship with Lizzo, it's hard to not want to support her in that moment, which I totally get.
No winning. If they hadn't put out a statement, we'd be talking about that. If they hadn't talked about Lizzo in the statement, we'd be like, oh, you didn't talk about Lizzo. Oh, you talked about Lizzo too much. There's no winning.
Yeah. They have a brand new baby, but you need to do your tease. Oh, Rachel Levis, a.k.a. Raquel from Vanderpump Rules, is finally speaking her truth about Scandoball. I'll fill you in on her interview with Bethany Frankel on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Get it. The Burt Show.
I need you guys, honestly, to be brutally honest with me.
I can do that.
I think this story is crazy.
Okay.
I firmly believe my dad had a hand in it, who is no longer with us. All right. But I still want you to be honest with me. Even if you're like that, it's just kind of a coincidence. I feel like this was so kismet and so crazy, but I was also slightly tipsy. So I need you to keep me 100. All right. So what had happened was, my niece and I were hanging out at a bar. So we went to this wine walk and it was like a million degrees outside, right? So we found like a little spot, and it's not a little spot. It's a pretty substantial bar, but we found a spot at the bar. But what's crazy is we walked in to get air conditioning and we're just kind of standing there by the restaurant area, just watching a baseball game. And we see bartender wave at us, but we thought he was waving at somebody else. And then he did the siren call for all white girls. He held up a bottle of white wine. And we're like, so I kid you not. Like, he held it up and waved it in the air. And so we were like, that's our beacon. So Katie and I walk over and sit down. And he's like, yeah, so like keep me company, because there was literally nobody else at this massive bar. So we sit down and strike up a conversation with JP. honestly, one of the nicest dudes ever. You know how some people just have very infectious energy and they just, they make you feel good being around them? JP is one of those people. And it's not like a bartender like putting on the Ritz or anything like that or trying to like schmooze. Like, he's just like a good dude and he had great energy. So what we did is we sat there in the air conditioning and my niece and I would take turns going to these booths to get our wine samples and we just bring them back in. And he also happened to have that bottle of wine back behind the bar and was, you know, giving us some lovely heavy pours. So we're hanging out with him and we're probably like an hour in now, right? And she and I, this is my husband's niece. She and her husband had come in to visit. And so we're just hanging out, having great conversation. JP comes over every now and then and we're talking. And she had gone to go get us another sample of wine. And I'm just sitting there having a convo with JP. And I'm like, yeah, so where are you from? You know? And he's like, oh, I'm from Dayton. And I'm like, no way. My dad was from Dayton. That's so cool. You don't meet a lot of people. And I mean, we do live in a city of transplants, but you don't come across a lot of people who are from Dayton. Uh-huh. And I don't know why I asked, but I go, where did you go to high school? And he goes, I went to Chaminade. And I'm like, that's where my dad went to high school.
No wow. way.
Right? Like, so crazy. And I'm like, that's so cool. And it's like, it's a boy-girl school now, but back when my dad went, it was just a boy's school. And so, you know, we're sitting there talking. I just think it's so cool. And he's got great energy. And I'm like, oh, that was neat. Blah, 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 whatever. Katie comes back. We're hanging out some more. JP's talking to us. And then we started talking again about Dayton. And I was like, yeah, my dad went to Precious Blood. And that was like the elementary, you know, elementary school or the elementary and middle school at the time. And his face just goes, I went to Precious Blood.
Come on.
No way.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, when I tell you, I jumped out of my bar stool, like ran across the bar and came back. And I'm like, are you kidding me? My dad went to Precious Blood. And that's where we had his funeral. And I was also just there for my uncle's funeral. They all went there. That's crazy. So we're just sitting there. We just like had like this. It was so bizarre. Like, what are the odds that I meet a bartender from Dayton who not only went to the elementary and middle school, but the high school of my dad? Like, it's just bananas. And so it was at that time that this massive, and when I say massive, I'm not exaggerating, thunderstorm comes through with like tornado-esque winds. It screwed up all the tents out there. It was a freaking nightmare. So here, JP and us have been sitting there. His bar was empty. We just got done having that conversation. This massive thunderstorm rolls through, and the bar gets flooded, right? The bar gets flooded. Now it's packed, and this guy is now making bank because all these people are at the bar.
Wow.
Now, literally, like, when this is going to, I'm not doing telling you this to be morbid. When my dad passed away, right after he died, there was a massive thunderstorm, like the biggest crack of thunder you ever heard. It was really bizarre. And so my brain and synapses are putting all this together. And I'm sitting there at the bar and I'm like, dad's a fan of JP and he wanted him to get paid. It honestly, that's what it felt like. And that he was like, you know what? You know, Kiki and him are vibing. So I'm going to create this little thunderstorm and bring everybody in so they can hook JP up with some tips. It was just the most. So I promised him I would give him a shout out, not tell this story, just because he was such a great bartender and he had such great energy. And it just, I walked away from that bar feeling like my dad had visited me. It was so crazy.
And don't forget, so I was at this event too, and you told me all this because I wasn't there for those conversations. Yeah. And then you guys went to get a tasting of wine and brought it back in thinking it was one thing, rosé, I think, but it was Moscato, which you said was your dad's favorite wine.
It was.
And then I didn't tell you this, but later on that day when I was driving home, I pulled up behind a car with an Ohio license plate, and the first three letters were J-U-M.
So not I, because yeah. I don't know if they do, but I'll show you the photo. But like, I know, and I know that's a stretch, but at the same time, but based on all the conversations that day, and then seeing Ohio and Jim again right in front of me, I was like, oh my God, Kristen's dad is here. Why is he following me in the suburbs? Go somewhere more interesting.
Making sure you got home safe.
Well, thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.
But okay, so would you say that's coincidence or that's like, bigger than that?
I'm not a big coincidence guy.
Yeah.
You know, for you two to be in the same place at the same exact time, for him to have given you that energy, and then for y'all to even have that conversation, because you could have very well have not even gotten into those details with him. So I feel like for all of that to come together at that exact moment, and then you get the thunderstorm, no, that's, to me, that would certainly feel like that's my dad.
And this was a huge venue. Like, there were so many other places that we could have sat and we could have hung out, but, like, we specifically went to the very first tent, and it was just so weird how everything played out. So shout out to JP from Dayton, who went to Chaminade in Precious Blood. Shout out, JP.
That's awesome.
My pop says, what up? It's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
In all my years on this show, I think this is the one love lost and found that I have been the most invested in.
I think about them when we're not at work.
I was leaving the gym yesterday, and I was walking by the part of town, or I was walking by Buckhead.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I wonder if like Dev and Sam went on a date here. I wonder if they were walking around this. I like am so excited to see how it turned out.
All right, so we may regret doing this, but we wanted an update on Deb and Sam. So for those that may have missed this, Deb reached out to us. She sent us an email, and she had met the most wonderful, spectacular, magical man.
Fine man.
Obviously, Love Lost and Found, we tracked his ass down, and he's pretty good looking. So she hit us up, and she had crossed paths with him at a bar in Buckhead, but she had given him the wrong number, or put her number in his phone, but screwed up a digit. And Deb, you hit us up, you put everything out there. You literally knew everything about this guy. It was really, really impressive.
I did.
So it was obvious that you guys were had great chemistry at the bar because of this solid conversation the two of you had.
Exactly. And that's what gave me, you know, I'm just going to not say it.
No, say it. I'm curious now.
That gave me the balls to
do I say balls a lot?
Yes. The balls are yours now. Whether you say it or not.
I think she meant like sound like you and asking whether or not she can say something on the radio.
Oh, not that you just go around yelling balls all the time. All right, so Deb, you hit us up. Within a matter of minutes, our Burt Show detectives, Cassie and Katie, they found Sam on LinkedIn, found him on Instagram, and we reached out to him. He was willing to come on the air with us. Sam came on the air with us. The two of you chatted. You were going to exchange numbers. We were giddy. We were on cloud nine. What has happened since?
Yeah. It was a fluke.
Oh!
No.
Take it back, Dan.
No. Tommy, hit the dump button.
Lie to us.
Love his dad.
What happened, Deb?
You know, he's very communicative. He's super intentional. I mean, I'm just like, it's going great.
No! Oh!
She okie doke.
Oh! You cannot play with our emotions like this, Deb. What are you doing to us?
You are evil.
So it's going great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Remember, we were supposed to play chill, but we this show has no chill right now.
No. That's long lost.
Okay. So Deb, have you and Sam seen each other in person?
So we have seen each other. And tonight we're actually going out on like our official date.
No.
But we've been communicating pretty much every day.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's been nice.
Why don't you sound more excited? Why are we more excited than you?
Because Maurice, I have to play it cool because now we're exploring.
Okay. You're doing a great job.
Because she knows he's going to listen to this.
Of course, that's fair.
All right, well, Deb, thank you so much for the update. Not for the, heart attack in the beginning, but thank you for the update. So this is what we're going to do as a show. We're going to give you guys some breathing room, okay? So we're very excited that this is on the right trajectory. We don't want to do anything to mess with this chemistry you guys got going on. So we are going to gracefully bow out and wish you guys the best of luck. And when you get engaged, you can hit us up.
Oh, my God. Y'all are going to be like, oh, no. Whose side are y'all going to sit on? Mine.
You are too cute. You have been so sweet. We're really excited for you. Hope you guys have the best date tonight. And thank you for, reaching out from the get-go and letting us go on this journey with you. It's been a blast.
Yes. I enjoyed you guys being a part of it, so.
Tell Sam we said hi.
Congratulations.
Hey, have a good day.
All right, you too, Deb.
Bye-bye.
I can't believe she did that to us in the beginning.
No, she had me going, too.
I did, yeah. When she said it was a fluke, I was like, no. No, this was meant to be.
Love is alive.
No, but now it's alive.
It's alive.
It's been resurrected. All right, so Abby, your mama completely embarrassed you out and about in Atlanta.
This is what my mom does. She gets drunk and she makes a fool out of me. But the problem is now in Atlanta, there is a small sector of people who know who I am because they listen to the show. And I've decided that I cannot go out drinking with her in Atlanta anymore because she made a fool out of me in front of someone we work with. And I didn't know if they were one of our coworkers. Because we're in the studio all day and then we go home. I don't know who else is in this building. Well, turns out there's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And apparently I passed them in the hallway a couple of times because somebody that we work with recognized me. But after my mom said some things that she shouldn't have said, nothing bad, but embarrassing, cringeworthy stuff. So I took her down to the Battery with my dad. We went to go see a Braves game. My dad's a big baseball fan.
They love the area because people who've never been and who are baseball fans are super impressed with the Battery and Truist Park.
One oh my God, favorites. My dad was in dude heaven. Yeah. We were sitting at Live and there's a golf, interior golf thing where you can swing golf clubs and you get a beer. Yep. My dad literally was peaked in that moment. It's all of his favorite things. And my mom, what she likes to do is forget that social cues exist and talk to everybody she can at the bar. So we're sitting down at the bar. She's two beers deep, and two older gentlemen about my dad's age sit down next to us, and she starts striking up a conversation with one of them, and she finds out that this guy works in music in Nashville, and my mom is a big country music fan. She goes, oh my God, you have to tell me who you manage. And he's like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, NDA, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, no, you have to tell me who you manage. I want to know. And she keeps berating this guy over and over and over again because, in her mind, she's three beers deep. She thinks that this guy's having a great time. I'm half of a Topo Chico in. I can tell that this is I'm mom, can we please bow out here? And there's another man sitting to the right of her that I can just tell is very uncomfortable. So I'm I'll go over there and make some small talk while my mom is making a fool of herself. Yeah, turns out this man is one of the managers in this building.
Shut up.
Wow.
So I introduce myself. I'm like, hey, I'm Abby. And he goes, yeah, I know. I've seen you in the hallway multiple times. And I was oh, really? And I'm looking over. I'm trying to tell my mom to shut up because she's really going in on the guy to his left.
Oh my God, you pulled a Bert.
What?
By not recognizing somebody that he works with.
What? I never met this man. I guess, the announcement happened that I came to work here a couple months ago. So I'm somewhat recognizable in this building, I guess. But I've never seen this man in my life. And I was just feeling so uncomfortable because my mom is literally there an adorable drunk mess, but a very cringeworthy drunk mess. She just needs a software update. She just needs, you know what I mean? She's at that age where she doesn't understand social cues and that sometimes people don't want to have conversations at the bar. Sometimes they want to have their wings and mind their own business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where we were at. So, Mike, if I see you in the hallway, it was really lovely to meet you.
Your mom's awesome. Those other people should have moved. I'll put that out there. It's The Burt Show.
Get it. The Burt Show.